Hello and greetings from Grace Bible Church of Rolling Meadows, where we boldly speak the mystery. Thank you for joining us again. And I'll ask the same question I've been asking in all of these segments. Do you know what the mystery is? Is the mystery something you're familiar with, something that you think about every moment of every day, something that you're aware of, or is it the mystery still a mystery to you? That's why we've done this special series on the mystery entitled The Lies of Historic Christianity. Because if you don't know what the mystery is, if the mystery is still a mystery to you, then you've been fallen the victim of the lies of historic Christianity. Because God in His Word, as we're going to see today, has officially proclaimed that He's made known the mystery. And His will is that all men, all women, all children, everybody, everywhere might know what this mystery is. So I'll ask it again. Do you know what the mystery is? It's the most important thing God wants us to know about today. It's important because it's when God describes the mystery, He describes it as the riches of His grace, the riches of His glory, the riches of His wisdom, the riches of His salvation. It's the riches of God is where we find the mystery today. And the mystery, according to Romans 16:25, is what God uses to establish believers today. That's what He uses to strengthen believers today, to empower them. It all comes from Paul's gospel, Romans 16:25, Paul's gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which had been kept secret since the world began. See, you're not going to find it in the teaching and ministry of Peter and the 12. You're not going to find it in the teaching and ministry of Christ and the gospel accounts. You're not going to find it in the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets. You're not going to find it in the Psalms of David. You're not going to find it there. It's something God had kept secret since the world began. You're only going to find it in Paul's epistles. God kept it a secret, but then revealed it to and through the Apostle Paul. So that's why the mystery is important. So it'll give us a hearing. It's not only the riches of God, it's the way God is establishing and strengthening believers today. Now, you might be established and strengthened by a million things. You might be established and strengthened by your religious system. You might be established and strengthened by your theological system or your favorite Bible author or your favorite televangelist. You might be strengthened by all those things, but the only way you're strengthened of God comes from the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery. So that's where we need to go to learn these things. So we've looked in the past segments of this series entitled Lies of Historic Christianity and the Truth of God and His Word. And we've debunked some of these lies. The first great lie that began all the way back in the days of Paul himself is that Paul's apostleship is not distinct and unique and new. We demonstrated in that segment that Paul's apostleship is new and distinct and unique. He's not one of the 12. He wouldn't have qualified. And he's not the 13th. Most certainly not the 13th. When God raised up Paul, He began something new. The second great lie that we've looked at in historic Christianity is that in the whole Bible, God has only revealed one plan. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it just deals with one program of God, one plan of God. And that's centered on man and his redemption. Now, I don't wish to diminish a man's redemption at all. I've participated in man's redemption. I thank God for man's redemption, God's salvation He's provided to sinners. I thank God for him, for that every second of every day. But what I am going to insist on is that is not the center of His revelation in the Scriptures. In fact, we demonstrated that God has two plans in the Scriptures, two purposes in the Scriptures. And it's through those two purposes, both of which are based not on man and his redemption, but on God and his glory. And it's two purposes. He has one purpose to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies, and he has another purpose to reestablish his glory on earth. And in order to carry out those two purposes, he created two programs and two peoples. And we saw that to carry out his program, to his purpose, to reestablish his glory on earth, he's going to do that through his prophetic program, what was revealed by the prophets in the Old Testament. And he's going to use his people, the nation of Israel. But you see, then there's another purpose. He also has the purpose to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies that he never spoke about before until Paul. And in that purpose, he's going to accomplish that purpose through the program called the mystery. And he's going to do that through a new created group of believers called the body of Christ. If you're a believer here today, if you trust in Christ and his cross for your salvation, that's what you're involved in today. That's why it's so important you know about the mystery, because that's what you're involved in today. And so that was the second lie. God raised up Paul as a new and unique and distinct apostle, and he's revealed to him a purpose, a program, and a people that he had never spoken about before. Through the Apostle Paul, he's revealing how he's going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies through his mystery program with the body of Christ. Lie number three was that the church began on Pentecost. But if you enter in on that premise, your whole Christian life is going to be thrown off whack from the very beginning. We demonstrated that Peter and the 12 weren't beginning something new at Pentecost. The church, the body of Christ, they were completing something old at Pentecost, something that had been spoken about since the world began, something that Joel and all the prophets had talked about. And it has not to do with the church, the beginning of the church, the body of Christ, but the continuance and fulfillment of the church, the believing nation of Israel, as he fulfills his prophetic program to fulfill his purpose to reestablish his glory on earth. So that was the third lie. And today we're going to look at the fourth lie. The fourth lie we reveal here, and that is that the mystery wasn't really, really a mystery. God claims it's a mystery, but you know, it wasn't really, really a mystery. He actually had been speaking about it all along. It's in the Old Testament, but it's just not obvious. It's not. It's a little hazy. It's there, but he had spoken about it before, but nobody really kind of understood what it meant until later, after the death and resurrection of Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today, that lie, that the mystery wasn't really a mystery. And the beginning point to understand that is to remember what a mystery is. Now, in our modern English, there's some connotations that go along with mystery that we have to get out of our heads. When the Bible here is talking about mystery, it's just talking about something that had been kept secret. But now, Paul says, has been revealed. It's not something, sometimes we associate the word mystery with something mysterious and spooky. That's not the connotation involved here. Sometimes we think of a mystery, especially like detective novels or things like that. And we think of the mystery as something convoluted and complicated and hard to understand. But it's not like that either. The mystery is just something that God had kept secret from eternity past, but then at a point in time made it known. He removed the covering off it. He opened the drapes, however you want to kind of contemplate this, so now everyone can see it. And his plan, we're going to see, is that all might come to a full understanding of this mystery. So that's lie number four in our series here, that historic Christianity has convinced us that the mystery wasn't really a mystery. It was only kind of a partial mystery. God spoke about it before, but no one really understood its significance. And in that sense, it was a mystery. But we're going to debunk that lie. That is an absolutely certain lie of historic Christianity to lead us away from a one truth today, the mystery truth that can establish believers today. That one basic lie. This is oftentimes promulgated and argued in a few different ways. The general way is that they say the mystery was about the incarnation, death, and resurrection of Christ. And that was revealed, was spoken about before, but no one understood its full ramifications, and therefore it wasn't fully revealed until after the resurrection. But there's a big problem with that. The big problem with that is that God says the mystery is something that had been kept secret, had not been spoken about. Romans 16:25, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which had been kept secret since the world began. And the incarnation and the death and resurrection of Christ had all been spoken about before. So it can't be that body of truth. So let's look at this and let's see how Paul drives home the point, contrary to the lies of historic Christianity, and even within most of believing historic Christianity, the mystery was a mystery. The mystery was a secret. God kept a secret. God kept a secret. It deliberately says it's something that he hadn't spoken about before at all. And let's see that develop. Paul goes to great lengths. He knew that Satan would try to attack the body of Christ in this way. And so he put this chapter in Ephesians 3 to prevent this. Unfortunately, most of historic Christianity has ignored this teaching in this chapter and have promulgated their own false teaching. So look at chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1. And we'll just read down through here. And I just want you to make note of what a mystery. The lie is that the mystery wasn't really a mystery. It was spoken about before. It was revealed before. It's just people didn't fully understand it. And so now God's going to make it so they can fully understand it. But it was spoken before. Let's see if God allows that, a lie within his word. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now notice the first thing Paul's going to talk about here. First of all, he talks about the dispensation of the grace of God. See, he's received a new dispensing of grace from God. And Paul was made, the flip side of receiving the dispensation is that Paul was made the steward of this dispensation of grace. Now God is dispensing his grace and peace to a world of unbelievers, to ungodly sinners on enemy status before him, waiting on them to believe on him so that they can not have to participate in the coming wrath and judgment. This is a great day of salvation for everyone out there. This is your big opportunity. If you've just tuned in here and you haven't received salvation, this is a great day of salvation. God today is holding back his wrath and judgment a little while longer. And what he's doing today now is dispensing his grace and peace out to a lost world so that as many as possible might be saved by believing in Christ and his cross, where he went to that cross to take onto himself all your sin, all your punishment, everything that was against you, and he paid the penalty in full, redeemed you in full, took everything onto himself and dealt with it all perfectly and righteously, meeting the infinitely holy demands of an infinite holy God. And now he can give it freely, the benefits of that cross work, the benefits of salvation to all who believe. And that's this great day that Paul's been given this dispensation of grace. And he says that he received it. Look how he received it, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of grace which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Paul received the mystery through a direct revelation from the risen Christ. That's how Paul received it. Now, how does everybody else receive it? How does everybody else learn about it? Look at let's pick it up again at verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, through a direct revelation. If we went over to Galatians, you'd see there he drives that point home. He didn't receive it of men. He didn't receive this from Peter or the 12. He didn't receive, this is a direct revelation of new truth made directly from the risen Christ to the Apostle Paul. He received it by a direct revelation. Now, how do we receive it today and anybody else besides Paul? Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me, Paul, the mystery, and I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So how do we learn about it? Paul received it by a direct revelation. We receive it. We learn about it by reading Paul's writings, reading Paul's scriptures, Romans through Philemon. That's where we learn about the mystery. And so now once we're reading Paul's epistles and we're reading about the mystery, what's the next step? How is it revealed to us? We're certainly not going to receive it by a direct revelation. We're receiving it through the written word of Paul. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now it explains how everyone except Paul receives and is revealed this mystery truth. They read about it in Paul's writings, and the Holy Spirit who wrote the scriptures, right? The Holy Spirit inspired Paul's scriptures. He takes that and teaches it to them and reveals it to them, beginning with the apostles and prophets of Paul's days. Now, you remember, he's not referring here to Peter and the 12, those apostles. What he's referring to here in this passage is when the church was in its infancies, before mystery truth had been incorporated into the Word of God, before the Word of God had been fulfilled, like Paul says in Colossians 1, with his mystery truth, God and the church in the infancy, since Paul couldn't be everywhere at once, he provided some of those spiritual gifts, whereby he would give special revelation to Paul's co-workers. That's the apostles and prophets mentioned here. People gifts God gave to the church in its infancy, so that if Paul wasn't available, they were able to give this information on their own using Paul's scriptures and Paul's teachings as a beginning point. So that's how we receive it. We read it in the Holy Scriptures through Paul. And the Holy Spirit teaches and reveals it to us from there. But now what I want to bring out is the point of how he describes what this revelation is. Look what he says in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Nobody knew about the mystery revelation before Paul. Nobody knew. It wasn't in ages past. It was not made known to the sons of men. All right, so going all the way in ages past, go all the way back as far as you can go, and it wasn't made known. That's a first counteracting of that lie that says that the mystery wasn't really mystery. It was there. People could have known it, at least about it partially. Well, God and Paul say it wasn't known in ages past. It was kept a secret. Now let's read some more here. Now let's read about this mystery. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So here we have another aspect of that mystery truth. And that's the church, the body of Christ, as part of that mystery program. The mystery is going to be fulfilled and has to do with the body of Christ. Israel's prophetic program had to do with the nation of Israel. And there, God's going to use that program, the prophetic program, the nation of Israel, to reestablish his glory on earth. But what Paul is revealing here is that God had another program that he kept secret since the world began. He didn't make known before. And that is, he's created a new people, the body of Christ, and with them, he's going to fulfill his new program, the mystery program, whereby he's going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. Verse 7, "Wherefore I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Paul was given the responsibility for receiving this revelation, writing it through the Holy Spirit into the scriptures, and then making it known to all people. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So here we have it again. What does the lie of historic Christianity say? They say, well, you can search it out. You can find it in the Old Testament. It's just not clear. It's hazy. It's partially revealed. But what does Paul say here? First, he said up in verse 5 that it wasn't made known in the ages past to humanity. And here he says it's unsearchable, untraceable. You can't find it anywhere else. You can go and look at all the Old Testament scriptures looking for this, or even the ministry of Christ in the gospel accounts, or even the ministry of Peter and the 12 of Pentecost, and you won't find this truth. It's unsearchable. You can go looking, you can search with a magnifying glass through everything written and talked about before, and you won't find it. You can search for it, but it's unsearchable. And it's the riches of Christ, this mystery. And verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." See, that mystery isn't still a mystery. Paul's job here, his stewardship in this dispensation of grace, is to make all know, come to a full knowledge of this mystery. Because that's how God's dealing with us today. What a shame if we don't know what the mystery is, God's primary truth for today. And look how he's going to emphasize the mystery was a mystery. Look at the end of verse 9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." So now he kicks it up a notch. First, he said, throughout the ages past, it wasn't known to men. Then he said, it's unsearchable truth. You can't find it anywhere else in the scriptures except Paul's scriptures. And now he says here in verse 9 that it wasn't hidden in the scriptures. It wasn't partially revealed and semi-hid in the scriptures. It was hid in God. And you know what? God can keep a secret. You won't find it anyplace else. It's unsearchable. It's not ever made known to men before. God hadn't spoken about it before. He'd kept it a secret, not in the Old Testament, but in himself. And God can keep a secret. You know, there was an old TV show, Dick Van Dyke Show, and I don't remember all the details, but I remember Rob going to work in the morning. That was the husband and father, and Rob Petrie, and he went to work in the morning, and I remember him in the kitchen over breakfast telling his wife that he's bringing home a famous celebrity. And he made her promise, now don't tell anyone, because he didn't want, you know, people coming from the neighborhood or all around to intrude on their dinner party. So he said, promise me you won't tell anyone. Keep it a secret. And she said, I'll keep it a secret. And as soon as Rob went out the door to go to work, what did Laura Petrie do? She got on the phone and called her neighbor Millie and told her the secret. And then Millie said, I won't tell anyone else. And then, of course, she shared the secret with others. And my point is this, God doesn't keep a secret like Laura Petrie. God can keep a secret. And he says in his word that he didn't keep it like Laura Petrie kept it. He hid it in himself. It's unsearchable in the rest of the scriptures and outside Paul's scriptures. And it's unknown. He didn't make it known. He didn't talk about it in any way before he directly revealed it to and through the apostle Paul. That's the answer to this lie of historic Christianity. No, you can't throw away Paul's apostleship by claiming that the mystery wasn't really a mystery. It was hidden in the Old Testament. No, God doesn't allow for that. God's word debunks that lie, and so should we. If you would like to hear more about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery and the distinct apostleship of Paul, please visit us at gbcrm.org. Until next time.